Hey everybody, this is Sam Davies, and you're listening to Carbon Neutral Compost, presented by the John Molson Sustainable Enterprise Committee, a podcast that tries to bridge the gap between sustainability and business and gets down to the pressing issues facing our world today. We enjoy interviews with guests from a variety of industries and discuss how we can improve on climate action and build a blueprint for a sustainable economy. Today we are joined by Axel Gisal, a John Molson alumni and current master's student in sustainability and management at Astra St. Moyal. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the podcast, Axel. JSEC is glad to have you on. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Hey, great. Yeah. So how's your master's been going?
I mean, I really love what I'm learning. It's the first time I take classes on sustainability, and I like the teachers I have. I like the content I'm learning. So I really can't complain on that part.
It seems, given that you're doing a master's in sustainability, you've got along a career path towards sustainability. So maybe tell the listeners a bit about that, about how sustainability came into your life.
Sure. So I'm a GMSB alumni, and I had two internships while I was at GMSB. I worked for Coveo and I worked for Deloitte. And I was just going through life, really thinking that that was the way work was. It was pretty draining to me, and I'm not going to say I didn't like it, but it wasn't really something of interest of mine. And then on my last year, I competed. So I entered like the GMCC program, which is the John Molson Case Competition program. And I did the Jeux du Commerce, and I competed in the sustainability field. And that's where I discovered the sustainability field. And that was the first time I learned about something, and I wanted to read more about it, and I wanted to learn more about it. And I wanted to really from there on, I knew it was something of interest. So instead of starting working after my bachelor, I knew I wanted to go into sustainability, and I applied to the master's degree in sustainability, got accepted. So here I am.
No, that's awesome to hear, especially as a Concordia student myself. It's great to hear that JMSB sort of provides an opportunity to get exposed to the world of sustainability. From what I know, you've been involved a bit among some other things at Concordia. I think you were in a JSBA a bit. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's for anyone in the John Molson School of Business, I would advise you to get involved. So student associations are there. It's very a social thing where you organize events, you organize networking events, you try to provide really a better university experience to other students. And for me, because I was what they call external, I was in contact with professionals working in the field. So I had to get a good LinkedIn, and I created a good network of professionals. So it was really beneficial to me and to the students. So I would advise anyone to get involved in student associations. And also, so GMCC, the Case Competition Committee, is amazing. At GMSB, they take undergraduate students. They teach them how to crack a business case, depending on the discipline, how to present it, how to answer tough questions. And you also meet a lot of people that are hardworking, that are driven. So it's a very powerful program. And to anyone that's listening right now, I would please apply to this program. If you're not selected the first time you apply, it's okay. I was rejected the first time. I tried again the year after. So don't get discouraged. And please, if you're interested, apply, because it's amazing.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I don't have experience in JMCC myself, but I'll just say plainly that once you get involved within university, it really amplifies your experience, and it's where much of the value can be found within pursuing your degree. Yeah, so without further ado, let's get into the general topic of today's podcast, which is unpacking why there isn't such a widespread acceptance of climate change, and why there's not this collaborative effort among basically society to tackle climate change. So I'll start by asking, why do you think climate change denial is so present, and why do you don't think there's so much alignment within society with regards to climate change?
I think it's a very interesting question. I recently read a book called The Merchants of Sand. I think it's the English title. And it really explains why there isn't widespread acceptance. So it goes back to the 50s and the 60s in the tobacco industry, where tobacco companies, they started seeing that tobacco was bad for your health. And their strategy was they provided, I mean, they gave a lot of money to a lot of scientists to do some studies and to also to make sure that they also would support the fact that tobacco was not bad for you. And so since the 50s, they sort of bought science, because with excellent scientists that supported one part of the story that was not true, the other scientists that did the studies really well, they said, well, it's actually bad for you. So there was this, especially in the media, there's this concept of widespread, equal representation. So they thought it would be relevant to hear the two sides of the story, when in reality, one side was much more, let's say, scientific than the other. So since then, there's a whole culture of really buying science. So you can buy science. You think that there's not an acceptance, when in reality, there's just a few people that are not accepting the facts, and the majority of them are. So I think it plays a big role in the fact that there's not widespread acceptance. The second aspect also is that right now you can find on internet data that would say, well, climate change is not real. There are some sets of data that you could interpret so that you could think that climate change is not real. But actually, when you take the bigger picture, you always see that climate change is accelerated by human activity. So that doesn't help. Now to your second question. I think the second question is a really tough question. So it was why there's no really alignment, and why is not everyone doing something to fight climate change? Well, I think it's a very complex issue, because when you look at the governance, when you look at the global governance, I'm thinking of the United Nations, the UN. I think that's, they're doing what they can, but ultimately, I mean, there's only so much they can do. They share the 17 goals, but it's also up to the countries to decide their targets, what they want to do, and then it's up to the biggest polluters in these countries to set targets and change the strategy to be more sustainable. And then it's up to maybe smaller businesses also to play a role. And then it's up to the citizens in that country. So it's a very, very complex issue, where if you want to have alignment, I think there should be an alignment at every stage of the governance. So this is how I see it.
I definitely agree with regards to what you're saying about like big global organizations like the UN. It's like, there's really so much they can do. And, you know, like there's a Paris Agreement. A lot of stuff can be said, a lot of stuff can be plainly agreed upon, but it really comes down to the individual countries, the individual governments getting down to it and actually making positive change. With regards to alignment, it really comes down to individuals, just behavior changes, consumer changes, stuff like that. To open up with such a broad question is kind of tough, but it's one that needs to be addressed, and there's no one way of addressing it. Like, why isn't there widespread acceptance of climate change? But it's just such a complex issue, and it's such a pressing issue, that just to open up the discussion around it is just will drive more understanding. And I think that's much of the issue too, is just with regards to like understanding it, it's just some people sort of have these preset notions of their interpretation of climate change. So like you're saying before about like, there's 1,000 scientists saying climate change is real, but there's one saying it's not. So it's like people with the preset notions that climate change isn't real, they'll just seek the one that's not. It's a really complex issue like that.
I agree. And I think that people that want to fight climate change need to be understanding. we need to understand that everyone has a different reality. For some people, they eat meat and they eat meat every day, and that's part of their culture. Others, they depend on oil because they work in the field, and maybe the whole family work in the industry of oil, and therefore climate change. I mean, some ecologists, they say, well, we should stop using oil tomorrow. Well, those people, obviously, they don't want to lose their jobs because they need to live. So I think that people that want to fight climate change have a duty of being understanding, and we need to understand everyone's reality. And we should not point fingers. We should not say, well, you're using your car, you're eating meat, your electricity comes from coal, you're a bad citizen. No, we should take everyone's reality and try to really teach them or explain to them what's going to be beneficial on the other side, instead of saying, well, you're not doing the right thing. I think that's a much more productive way of seeing things. Because as you said, even to me, sometimes, I mean, I'm vegetarian at home, but sometimes when I go out, I eat meat. If someone tells me, well, eating meat is bad, it doesn't make me feel any bad. I'm just annoyed that this person told me that, and I'm going to eat meat anyways. So it's really about educating in a smart way and communicating in a smart way. Why are we doing this, and what's on the other side? Because there's a lot of opportunities.
We sort of need to work around what people are doing with their life. Like you're saying, there needs to be a certain understanding. We need to understand that at the end of the day, people are doing what they think is best for them. So if someone wants to eat meat, they're going to do that. Take that away from them, or to like you say, like point fingers and like attack on that. It's an affront to them. It's an affront to them as an individual. Like at the end of the day, like you're saying, it's just not a productive way of going about it. There needs to be this common ground, this opportunity to understand everybody's position. And then we need to move forward from there.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think it's very important. So once you understand each other's reality and you respect them in their choice, then you can work on fighting climate change. And I think that we don't need 100% of the population that's fully engaged in fighting climate change. I think there just needs to be a small number of dedicated and motivated individuals that will drive changes on all the governance levels that we spoke about earlier. So I think that's the priority, because focusing on the citizen is great, but I think I read somewhere that let's say right now I stop emitting anything, and until I die, I stop emitting anything. I think it will save 1 second of the whole energy sector worldwide of emissions. So I think on the individual level, to me, the priority should be education. People should understand why we need to change. But in terms of impact, in my opinion, we should really focus on big polluters, big corporations, governments also, because they have that the power of implementing strong policies, and also maybe local governments. Like we're talking of cities, we're talking villages, or just groups of people. I think it's very important to give them power also to implement tools to fight climate change. So at first we need to understand each other's reality, not hate each other, but actually understand each other, and then we can work.
No, definitely. And like you're saying, like empowerment, like giving certain communities that don't have the opportunity to be so green, if we provide resources and get them there, sort of giving them that stepping stone, it's way more valuable than like you're saying at the individual level. Of course, at the individual level, it's great. You know, I think it serves a purpose beyond just reducing emissions. It sort of spreads awareness. But yeah, like at the end of the day, it comes down to the big emitters. And we just need to work around how we could continue to function as a society, as a global economy, and not hurt the planet. So yeah, I guess that's where we'll go now, is sort of into how do we transition to a sustainable economy, and how do we mesh like our current economical objectives with sustainability?
Oof. Okay. So I'll bring the academic aspect into this, because that's what I'm studying right now. So there's typically there's three ways of seeing this problem. There's number one, the conservative way. The conservative way of seeing this problem is when you say, well, either you can say, well, the market's just gonna solve the issue. We don't have to, because ultimately the resources, they're gonna get more expensive, and then we'll buy more of the resources, or we'll innovate and find new solutions. But also another conservative way of seeing this problem is green growth. So they'll say, well, we'll not change really anything we're doing right now, but we'll invest in renewables, or we'll invest in here, invest in that, so that will drive change. So that's also seen as a conservative way of seeing this problem. Now, it's called the reformative way of seeing this problem is a little different, because it's a little bit more critical. You want to change the system to a more social system, and you're more environmentally focused, in a sense that you would put the environment really at the center of what you're doing. So that's a more reformative way of seeing this problem. And then finally, there are what's called the revolutionary way of seeing this problem, where you either want degrowth. So degrowth is sort of moving away from a society that's always driven by the growth of the GDP, of the amount of money, of this and that. The growth of consumption, for instance. Or there's also eco-socialism, which is a bit different. I'm not an expert on that, but we can talk about it if you want. So there are those three ways of seeing it. So, and all these different visions can, I mean, they have their advantages and they have their disadvantages. And so therefore, I think that the more we wait, the more drastic the changes need to be, and also the less likely those drastic changes are to happen, simply because I think that society is such a big thing to move that I just don't, to me personally, I mean, almost unfortunately, I just don't see drastic changes happening soon. So I think that right now we're fully going to green growth, and I think that unfortunately that's going to lead to a lot of negative impacts, because the global average temperature is going to increase. I mean, right now we're already on the, if we do all the promises we have right now, I think we're around 2.7 degrees above the levels of 1950. We're talking about a lot of changes happening, unfortunately. So the question is now, what can we do, right?
No, for sure. And like you're saying, with regards to like the conservative, the reformative, and the revolutionary approach, it's just they all have different time horizons. And whichever one you pick, it's sort of a trade-off between implementation. You know, it's like, I don't think revolutionary is going to happen, like, hopefully within my lifetime, but definitely not within the next 10-15 years. Because like you're saying, the whole aspect of, this is with regards to the revolutionary approach, the whole aspect of degrowth, just like our whole economy is based around growth. It's like, just if you look at the way we classify a recession, it's two consecutive quarters of negative growth. So it's literally how we measure success is, oh, you're bigger than you were yesterday. So that whole approach, while it being the best one for the climate, it's just with regards to implementation, it's like, I don't know, I just don't ever see it happening, which is sort of, I don't want to say depressing, but it's sort of like daunting to hear if you want the climate to change, but it's sort of our reality. So where we go from here is such a tough thing to answer. I think we all know the right answer, which is the most drastic approach. But how we get our companies, our governments to implement that is a tough situation. So how do you think, what do you think the next steps are? What do you think, like, the optimistic or pessimistic path for the future is going to be with regards to how we tackle climate change?
I mean, when it comes to the views, to me, what really angers me the most is people that, to me personally, it's people that spread misinformation. So I'm really angry at the people that are, you know, the very, I would say, maybe smart in a sense, because they're smart, like scientists that communicate messages about the fact that climate change is not real, or that the climate is changing and it's completely normal. Like, I'm really, to me, that angers me. But the fact that we're going towards a trajectory that's going to be harmful for the future generations, and we're already feeling it right now. Right? We know that we're already feeling the effects of it right now. To me, I don't know why, but I tend to be on the positive side of it. It doesn't really depress me because I think that there's a lot of people that are willing to do something and that will do something, and that we can get together. I mean, there's so much opportunities, right? There's so much opportunities. And I think this is the way we need to phrase it too. It's good to know that biodiversity is collapsing, that climate change is accelerating like crazy, that a lot of people are seeing their quality of lives diminishing. We have to know this. But then to me, I think it's just a massive opportunity, to say, okay, our system based on growth, purely economic growth, just doesn't work. It doesn't work for us. It's bad for the planet. And when I say the planet, I mean animals, because the planet is going to survive without us and without animals, right? So it's, we're saying it's bad. So now what do? I mean, we rethink the system. We rethink the way we see things, the way we collaborate, the way we educate our children, the way we live. So that's why I think I'm more excited than pessimistic.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. That's a definitely positive way of looking at it. It's just like, oh, it's opportunity, bringing like a widespread realization of, oh, yes, I can make changes within my life. And like you're saying, with regards to education, it's definitely what we try to do here at JSEC, is bridge that gap between whether it be business and sustainability and how you can implement it. Definitely one thing we could do, we could just promote changes in consumption habits. There's a lot we can do. So yeah, I know what I said before with regards to it being like depressing and daunting. Like, yeah, there is... You could always fall down that path with regards to climate change, and it's a pretty sad path to go on. But yeah, it's definitely not constructive, and there's no point in like being hopeless about it, because you know there's always something you can do. And I think that's much of the discussion around sustainability, is just like down to from the individual level up to the organizational level, up to the governmental level. There's always something to be done, and with regards to that, much of what we do at JSEC is try to promote you being sustainable within your career, and even if your career isn't necessarily sustainable, you know what I mean? So it's that's sort of something we're keen on, is just sort of being sustainable no matter what you do.
I think I love what JSEC is doing from day one. I love what you do. I think that sustainability in GMSB should be more present, and maybe I'll close on the fact to close the discussion that so we spoke about why there isn't widespread acceptance, and then we sort of segued into how can we transition to a more sustainable economy. Really, I think to close it off, I think that there needs to be a whole systemic change, and I think that most people agree, but maybe not, right? Maybe mostly economists won't agree. But the systemic change needs to come. I mean, as we said, it's at every single level of the government. So the government need to change its priorities. The citizens need to change their priorities. We need to change the way we educate. We need to change the way we interact with each other. And really, I think on the other side, I think the future of humanity, where me living in Canada, I would think of people living in other parts of the world, and will sort of live in this sustainable way in respect to nature and to animals, and humans are going to be part of nature. So I think that's where we need to head, and the major focus of the upcoming years is going to be the how. How do we get there? How do we make the financial sector move? How do we make the governments move? Because it's very hard, and there's a lot of things that are preventing us to really fight climate change the way we want to, because we have this society that's in place, this way of thinking that's there for a reason. So we almost need to unlearn and deconstruct a lot. And I think that's very excited because it's exciting, sorry, because it's the fight of our generation. And we're not doing this for us. We're doing this for the animals. We're doing this for future generations. I'm looking forward to doing this.
No, I love that. That's a great way to just encapsulate what we said and sort of what we should do going forward with regards to sustainability and climate change. And yeah, I think to sum it all up, it's just we need to be comfortable with change, like change in our habits, change within government, changes how we measure success. I think that's much of the issue. But yeah, thank you for that. That's a great way of encapsulating what we just spoke about.
And because on the other side of change, it's better also. There's a lot of opportunities. I mean, there's a better quality of life, a more cohesive society. There's a lot of economic opportunities also. So it's not change to change, it's change for the better.
Now, I think we'll move on to our rapid fire round of our podcast. It's where we ask our guests a few sort of this or that questions, fill in the blank questions, and it covers a range of topics. It's not just reduced to sustainability. So hopefully you'll enjoy this, Axel.
All right, I'm excited.
So I'll get it going now. Music or podcast?
Podcast.
Call or text?
Text.
Pen or pencil?
So a pen. Pen is the one like blue, red. That's pen.
Yeah, it's ink. The one. Yeah.
That's what a pen.
Pen. The ink. Pen. Good man. Hot or cold?
Cold.
Night or morning?
Morning.
See the future or change the past?
What's see the future?
Go into the future or go into the past?
I would say go into the future.
All right. Do you like the city or the countryside, more rural areas?
I'm a city boy.
City boy. Would you rather start work late or leave work early?
Leave work early.
All right. So that does it for our this or that questions. Now we'll sort of move on to the fill in the blank question. So I'll say a sentence and then you'll just think of the first word or first sort of sentence that comes to mind. So our first one is sustainability is
full of opportunities.
There we go. The best source to learn about topics is
to ask questions.
Concordia is
great.
All right. My professional experiences have made me
better at sharing ideas.
That's really a great way of interpreting it. What was your favorite place to study on campus?
On campus?
Or did you study on campus?
Not much.
Oh, really?
But it would be GMSB. I think it was the third floor.
Yeah.
Third floor. Like when you go on the side, you know, behind like those rooms, third or fifth, like they have this big glass room.
Yeah.
And you like go on the side and yeah, I like this spot.
No, it's pretty fun there for sure. Yeah. So I think that'll do it for the rapid fire round. Thank you so much, Axel, for taking the time. I really enjoyed your insights with regards to the general topics and that rapid fire round. Definitely really interesting responses there as well.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. So thank you very much.
Likewise. So take care, Axel, and wish you all the best in your sustainable career.
You too, really, Sam. It was really a good process. I enjoyed the podcast. The rapid fires are super cool. I love what JSEC is doing. So keep doing it. I'm really thankful and really grateful that you have me.